All right, so now I'm just going to hand over to Pastor Stephen to give us the word. Let's give him a hand, please.
Good morning, everybody. Oops, do the McGowan thing. Good morning, everybody. man, these politicians, they're in trouble. But God bless them, you know. And we pray for them that God would continue to give them wisdom and courage, because it's needed for this time. Eh? Not easy for them. But that's why they do the gig, eh? You know, because they chose to put themselves out there, but they still need our prayer, you know, and our support. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for our leaders of this state. Father, we thank you. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would just give them wisdom and you just give them strength, Father, and discernment. We lift them up before you. We lift up their families, Lord God. Even though we may have differing opinions, Lord God, to borders open, borders closed, but Father, we lift up our leaders, Father, because it is an instruction from you. And so, Father, give them wisdom and courage in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've just come out of how did everybody go with the fasting? Woo, it was a bit tricky. 3 days of fasting. We just finished that on Wednesday last week. But I think it was actually a good time where we could just focus our attention on the Lord and hear what he has to say to us. Regardless of the type of fast that you undertook, that's not the issue. The issue is that God would bless your best fast. Even if you fasted one meal, he would give you the thumbs up. Because in that time, you would be focusing your attention on the Lord and listening in to what he has for you. If we're going to do anything of great significance, we definitely need to be those people that are plugged in to the Lord. We have to be plugged in to hear what he has to say. Because sometimes it is not just about, yes, we've been given skills, yes, we've been given understanding, but there is something extra that we're given, and that is the Spirit of God that will just whisper, do this. You know, just like Peter, they were fishing all night, and then the Lord came and said, throw your nets to the other side. You can imagine these are seasoned fishermen. He could have easily said, oh my goodness, you know, I've been doing this for many years. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing for 20 years. My father was a fisherman. My great-grandfather was a fisherman. Fishing runs in our blood. But he says, because it's you, I will do it. And you can see what happened. There's something supernatural that happens when we incline our ear to hear what God has to say. And you could be a business person, or you could be a mother, you could be a young person. The Lord will just say, look to the left, or do this. And all of a sudden, it's going to release something so important in your life. Amen? I remember a time, who remembers the old cassette tapes? Where if you wanted to hear, man, there's a lot of us who remember cassette tapes. And I recall this, I was at university then, and I remember hearing Benny Hinn talk about his ministry, and he said something that, you know, when you're listening to a tape, you press stop and then rewind and then again, but because maybe you've gone for so long rewinding, you got to then fast forward up until you get back to your place. And so he was just talking about his ministry and operating in the things of the Lord, and he said something that got my attention. He says, he was explaining how his ministry, where his ministry came from and how he was in the position that he was in. And he says, there are no formulas. You get here by placing your faith in God and taking the journey and growing in your relationship with the Lord. You see, getting to know God is only achieved by spending time with him. And so fast forward another 15 years, and this time we're in Port Hedland, under the leadership of Pastor David and Lil Hooper. And we had a visiting speaker, Andrew Kubala. And Andrew Kubala came, and he has a great ministry, very good speaker. And so we're having dinner at the night before the service. The leaders had been called for a pizza because Pastor David Hooper used to make the best pizzas. He had a pizza oven. In the time that he made it, he probably made over more than 1,000, 2,000 pizzas for people, which was really good. And so he used the skill that he had, and he would invite Christians and non-Christians, because everybody gathers around food. So we're having the pizza and the drinks. And so I asked him, I said to Andrew Kubala, what does it take for people to get to his level as well as to other pastors' level, like those who pastor big churches, X, Y, Z? And his answer has never left me. He says, it's a willingness to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? And then I asked another question. I was asking about sermon preparation. And he said that his time with the Lord is his time with the Lord. And that is completely different to sermon preparation time. Because at that time when I was in Port Hedland, sermon preparation time was my time with the Lord. And so this thought of the willingness to pay the price is such an important thing. New year, new you, new resolutions. But without sacrifice, you're not going to achieve whatever you've set out to achieve. Stepping toward a dream is like launching a rocket. Massive amounts of energy must be expended at the beginning. And so if you want to live the dream, then you have to pay the price. And John Maxwell, I like what John Maxwell says, and I quote, he says, the dream is free, but the journey isn't. The question always remains, are you willing to pay the price? And so coupled with the desire, you know, to take the next step in our lives and to move into whatever God has for us. And then when you look at the times that we're living in, tumultuous times, we're living in times where February 5th, borders were open, everybody was excited to see their families. And then last week, borders are closed indefinitely. And so a lot of, you know, it's affecting a lot of people. Because people are starting to lose faith. When is this? When am I going to be able to see my family from another state that are hard closed from coming into Western Australia? What is going on? We hear the rumors of Omicron. I don't know whether you guys get notifications on your phones. Every morning, Channel 9 sends me notifications. And the first thing it says is New South Wales has beaten its record of having more people with that are contracting the virus. And so we are living in really confusing times. And if we are going to be those as kingdom people, how do we respond in these times? And that's the question we have. How do we respond when we are faced with a lot of uncertainty, when we're faced with, Lord, I want to do this, but I don't know how to move from where I am now to where I need to go? There's a scripture and so the title of my message today is Enduring Faith. Of course, you've already seen that. Very nice graphics. Thank you, Claire. And Matthew chapter 14, verses 4. And it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat. Now, underline that, insisted. And you can ask yourself the question, why would he insist? And then you can do that homework when you get home. And cross to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." We all know we would have all done the same. Because the first thing that would have alarmed them is, what is going on? We have never, all we know is that if I step into water, I am sinking. But there's a person that seems to be walking on the water and he is not sinking. So that as well would have really tripped them up to say, well, what's going on here? And then, but Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid," he said, "take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Now they were very happy that, oh my goodness, we thought our lives were going to perish. And this story has got a lot of interesting things that we can unpack and that we will unpack as we go this morning. Is that whenever we want to set out to do something of significance or step out at the beginning of the year, we say, this is what we want to do for our family. The first thing that comes up with us, we have what is called momentary faith. And so momentary faith is when we hear something, we get excited, and then the faith fizzles out. It's only there for a moment. It is not long lasting. So Peter rightfully gets out of the boat and begins to take the steps toward the Lord. But now he begins to see he sees the strong winds. And so whether you can't see wind, but you can see the evidence of strong wind. And so he saw the evidence of the strong wind and the waves, and he got scared because all of a sudden he must have said, this is so unreal. Why is this happening to me? Why am I walking on the water? This should not be happening. And immediately he starts to sink. And this is momentary faith, where we can get excited about the idea of the change that we want to see in our lives. But when it comes to actually doing it, something holds us back. And so if we are going to move into all that the Lord has for us, we don't just need, yes, we need momentary faith that gets us excited. We hear a word. We hear a word of encouragement, and we get excited, and we decide to take the next steps. And so we just don't need momentary faith. We need a faith that is going to continue. We need enduring faith. Enduring faith will endure through the storm. And the reason it will endure through the storm is because it keeps its focus on Jesus. It stays in the Word. If you're going to have enduring faith, we're all going to have to make a decision this year that, like Benny Hinn said, like Andrew Kubala said, that are you willing to pay the price? You want to grow closer to the Lord. What does that actually mean? It means that I am going to have to wake up a bit earlier or stay up a bit later so that I can grow in the Lord, because that is my desire. One of my goals is to, perhaps amongst others, is I'm going to have to lose some weight. And so I like the idea of a nice body, you know, of a six-pack. I like the idea, but am I willing to put in the hard yards? That is always the question. And so what we have sometimes is we have a price problem. Am I willing to pay the price? You want to extend your business. Look, don't get me wrong. And I know that over the last three weeks especially, you've heard me always talk about business, you know. There's a reason I say that, because, and I repeat this again, we are in church 104 hours a year. And we want this to be a very good experience. But the reality is that we are called to out there, where we do most of the work that we do is done out there. And so recognizing that we have been given worlds that we're in. We've been given worlds, we've been given people that we're sent to. And the question is, you've always got to ask yourself this, is where am I supposed to go to minister? So others are ministering in the schools because they're going to be extra nice to the kids, and there'll be something about them there is a presence of God upon them, that as they minister to the kids, as they do their normal job, the children will say, there's something different about these individuals. And then, of course, you go into your workplace. There is an excellent spirit about this individual. Then, of course, if you run a business, when you're interacting with people, they just say, you know what? There's something about these people that, you know, they just seem to have something that is different to the way we've interacted with everybody else. And that is the Spirit of God that we carry. And so we all have been called to be ambassadors. Now, others are called to be ambassadors in the church, you know, like I'm doing here. But of course, there's also other vocations and places that God has called you to be. And so we have to keep our focus on Jesus. We have to make a decision to stay in the Word. Because remember the words that were spoken. He says, tell me to come to you if it's you. And then he says, yes, come. So all he had to do was to stay in the Word that he received from hearing what the Lord Jesus said to him. Stay in the Word, because the Word is going to sustain you. The Word of God will sustain you when the storms come, and surely they must. It's so interesting that the Lord said he insisted that they get into the boat. And so he sends the people away and he goes off to pray. Why? Why? What lesson are you trying to tell us? What lesson are you trying to tell us? Stay in the Word. But also, to have enduring faith, we need to recognize that the thing that we're seeking from the Lord, and maybe it hasn't come, that it is just a timing issue. So without the Word of God to sustain you, the speech of your mouth where you'll continue to profess and to confess the goodness of God and that the Lord is still going to come through for you, you might do yourself out of the thing that you're asking for. And so we constantly have got to stay in the Word. And I think I said, this is the fourth time I've said that. Stay in the Word. Whatever happens to you, whatever promise it is that you want, the Lord has promised you something and spoken things over the years. You got to stay in the Word. Don't abandon the Word just because you don't see the evidence of the thing that you want to see. Amen? And don't let doubt displace your faith. And understand that a lapse of faith is merely a stumble. Cry out to the Lord. And remember that he's right there to catch you. And so what the eyes behold, the mind dwells on. And then we respond either in faith or in doubt. So what the eyes behold, the mind dwells on. And then you respond either in faith or doubt. So be very careful in 2022, the things that you're watching. Be careful in 2022, the things that you're hearing. Because the things that you spend a lot of time hearing are going to help you either respond in faith or in doubt. Each step that Peter took from the boat was a trial of his faith. And understand that the faith-building process is not automatic. It's a learning process. And the question I have for us today is that, where does our best opportunity lie? Is it in the boat or out on the waves with the Savior? So whatever it is that you're focusing on wanting to do this year, you have to ask yourself, do I not do it or do I do it? And where does your best opportunity lie? Does it lie in not doing it, or does it lie in actually doing it? That's the question that's another homework one. You can go home and answer that one. And so we can battle with the will of God for our lives. And we ask ourselves a question, does God want me to get out of the boat? Does God want you to? And so we can ask ourselves, does God want you or I to step out of the boat? And we can use the boat to represent a comfort zone. And so that is why we would always say, oh, I'm just listening in for the will of God. I want to hear what the will of God is for my life. And we use that as a mechanism to not do anything and to paralyze ourselves, because we want to hear what God has for us, or what does God want to do with my life. The real question is, do you want to get out of the boat? Do you want to pursue that dream or pursue that job, that career, or whatever business idea, whatever it is that God has wants you to do? Do you want to do it? And an interesting thing was that there were 12 people in the boat because Jesus had 12 disciples. Peter is the only one who stood and got out the boat. There were 11 other brothers in the boat. And I wonder what they were asking themselves. And especially when they got back into the boat, they would all have been saying, oh man, I wish that was me. I wish I had walked on water. And so how you perceive your situation will determine the steps that you take. And understand that don't wrestle too much with the will of God, because understand this, God would rather have you in motion than not. And so sometimes fear holds us back. And then we start to use the words like the will of God for our lives, you know. So it's actually fear of the uncertainty. What will happen if I get out of the boat and I walk? I might just sink. Therefore, I will not step out. But understand this. You cannot steer a parked car. Proverbs 14 verse 4 says, the only clean stable is an empty stable. So if you want the work of an ox and to enjoy an abundant harvest, you'll have a mess or two to clean up. That is from the Passion Translation. That's telling us that, you know what? Just get out the boat and see what happens. God is very gracious in that if you're in the wrong direction, you know, he's going to boom, boom, boom. He's going to try and steer you towards the right direction. And so it's not a matter of what will happen to me, but it's a trust that he had to have in the Lord. The Lord has said, go or come. Therefore, I'm going to rely on that word regardless of the storm that is happening in my life. And so I recall this whole failing thing, you know, where we have this. Because we want certainty on our lives. I'm not going to do this unless I'm certain that I will succeed. But that's not the way it works. Many times, you know, I can never say I've heard the voice of the Lord say, right, do this. I've just seen an opportunity and I've stepped in. And I've done something and I've groped in the dark. But ultimately, the Lord directed because I also stepped out, left my work in 2018 to run start my own business because that was a desire of mine, failed miserably. Everything went to custard, you know. Everything went bad. Then, you know, when your money is not coming in every fortnight, all of a sudden you can see a lot of the bank, they send you, you know, when you open up the app, it'll tell you in and out. There were lots of outs, but there were not many ins. And so that was a very difficult time. But you got to step out because in due time, the Lord is going to help correct your course. I tried as a youth leader in Adelaide, you know, just to show you how bad I was. The first thing I did was the day that they said, okay, Stephen Magwenzi is now going to be the youth leader of the church. And I was pumped. Then I said, right, after church, we are going on an expedition. And I took the whole youth group to a cemetery. This was in Adelaide, and so we walked amongst the tombs, and I was like, you see, this person was born on this date and died on this date. And there's obviously stuff that is written, an epitaph, you know, there is written on the tombstone. And I said, what is written about you, you decide what is written about you. We've done one part, we've been born, we're still all alive, there's a dash. But soon there'll be another date that will be put there. What happens between that dash is entirely up to you. So that was my way of motivating the young people to say, you better go for gold. But you know what? You just move on. You know, you just, I thought when you reflect, you think, oh, that wasn't a good thing to do. But yeah. You know. But how do we, if we're stuck in the boat, how do we get out of the boat? Because that's the question that 11 people must have been asking themselves. Man, I should have got out the boat. You know, Peter would have been bragging. I walked on the water. You know, I've read my Bible every day. And by, look, when I say that, I'm not. Let's not be religious about reading the Bible, you know. But I'm just saying that he would have just been, you know, as a guy, he would have been showing off to his friends. You guys stayed in the boat, you chickens. And so where does your confidence to step out come from? Even if it's something new, you want to do something new in 2022. Where you want to start a family, where does your faith, where does the confidence to step out in faith come from? But understand that we exercise faith every day. Bungee jumping. You jump because you put faith in the cord. You go to one of the buildings in Perth, and you can press floor number 34. None of us ever ask for the certificate of compliance. As a matter of fact, they actually have in the elevator, they've got the certificate of compliance in the elevator to say this was when it was last repaired. How many, who has ever read that certificate of compliance? It's there in the lift. If you go on, it's on the left. In the lifts that I've gone in, it's always on the left. Or do we ask the bungee people, are these ropes the best ropes? You see, we put faith in the system of checks and balances that somebody has put in place, but we never think about them. And so what more for your life? Jesus insisted they get back into the boat. And he said this, why did you doubt me? Oh, you of little faith. That's what he said, right? Yeah. You have so little faith. And the reason he had so little faith is because in the beginning parts of the chapter, this is when Jesus fed the 5,000. He said to them, and can I just get five men, just to stand up and come forth. And Hannah, can you'll be, can we just, the box, can I have my box, please? And look, this is just for illustrative purposes. I'm trying to get a point here across. So everybody take up, five of you, come through, please, to the stage. Let's move quickly, our time is running out. Yeah, right there, boom. So Hannah's got our two fish. And this is, wow, this is Serena. This is very nice, eh? Stand over there. Thank you, Hannah. Fish. So grab a loaf and don't tear the package because I have to take it to Wellard with me. So he says, why did you doubt me? Because, and I've got five men here to illustrate that there were 5,000 men. Each of them represents 1,000 people, not including women and children. And of course, we've got our two fish there that young boy supplied. But the interesting thing, this is what the Lord said when the disciples came to him and said, send all these people home. There's no way we can feed them. And the Lord said, you feed them. And what he was asking them to say is that you do the impossible. You do the impossible. But because, so he then says to Peter, after what I just did, we just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, you still doubt me. And this is the thing that the Lord is saying to us, that I gave my life for you, yet you still doubt me. Please put your hands together for my team here. Even though they would like to take the bread, they're not doing it. Yes. And so that is the question, you know, that if we can have faith in an elevator, what more for your life? And so all you need to do is, when you're looking for the confidence, is you just need to look back and say, this Jesus died on the cross for me, and so why would he then let me down? And the truth is that we are going to make errors. We are going to make mistakes. But we need an enduring faith, a faith that is going to rely on the word of God, that I would never leave you nor forsake you. Because he says, why did you doubt me? You have so little faith because of all the things that I had done. And so perhaps the insistence of the Lord was to see, is the penny dropping for these guys that they can put their trust in me? And always what will happen, you see, is that once you've accomplished what you've set out to accomplish, you will then turn around and say, wow, you truly are the Son of God. And so what you're going to do, you see, is that when you get whatever it is that you want from the Lord, you will not take credit for it. Because you will realize that this was only possible because of what God has done in my life and because of the Lord. And so as we bring this to a close, tell me to come to you. How we need to stay as we move from being fearful of the things that the Lord wants us to do for our lives. And also it's about, if we want to do something of significance, not just in the church, but understanding that wherever you go, you are actually ministering to people. You are on a kingdom assignment. Is that you have to, Peter needed to continue doing what he had started to do. When he started walking, recognize that when he got out of the boat, the waves were still there. It was still stormy when he got out of the boat. But because he needed to keep looking at Jesus and not looking at his situation, you will endure through the storm if you keep your eyes focused on the Lord. One foot in front of the other, reminding yourself that Jesus is the one that called me and Jesus is the one that has enabled me. And so what Peter was asking of the Lord had never been done before. And there are things in your life that you want to do that you have never done before. And God is going to take you places that you've never been before. You know, in Psalm chapter 39, it talks about, I will lead you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And then he says, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed by bit and bridle, else they will not come near. And so he's saying that for this place that we're going to take you, for where you're going, you're going to need to trust me, because I'm going to lead you, I'm going to guide you, I will guide you with my eye. And he's saying, don't be. So when you come to a place where you've done something that you've never done before, don't hold back. You know, like the horse, you've got to hold back. And like the mule, you've got to kick it to get into gear. He's saying, trust me. And so I don't know about you, and so I'll ask everybody to stand this morning. If there are things in your life the Lord has been speaking to you about, it could be things He's asking you to do something, to step out, to be a person that adds value in other people's lives. I need you to come to the prayer this morning. For prayer, sorry. We're going to open this up now for some prayer. One of the things I want to pray for is courage and boldness, that you can step out into all that God has for you. Understand this thing about keeping the word in you. He said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, meditate on this word day and night, and seek to do all that it says. Because once you've done that, then you will have success. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. And so, Father, we thank you with every eye closed and head bowed. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that is calling us, Father. That if we're going to be the ones that would advance your kingdom forward, Lord God, we need an enduring faith. A faith that is not just in the moment, Father, but a faith that will last. That even when trials come, Father, we would keep our eyes focused on you. And we will know, Lord God, that for all that you've done for us, Lord God, there is nothing that is too difficult for you, that you will make a way for us. And so this morning, Father, we pray for boldness and for courage to be able to step into the things that you want us to do. That we would not be fearful, Lord God, of failing, but we would recognize, Father, that you are taking us along a journey. And that in that journey, Father, there would be uphill times, Father, but there would be times of blessing and times of great joy. And of course, there will be times of crying. But we put our trust in you. And so with every eye closed and head bowed, I just want to ask, for those of you who have never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to actually put your trust in him, we're going to pray this together and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I repent of all my sins, Lord Jesus, and I accept your life today. And today, Lord, I will walk with courage in all that you have for me. And I will have an enduring faith because I keep my eyes focused on you. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time with every eye closed, because we do this every week because it is important, just put your hand up and so I can see you and then we can give you something.